Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Sharon W. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, April 26, 2022. And today we are reading from the Big Book and we are on page XXX, the fifth paragraph. Beginning, all these and many others have one symptom in common, and ending with, the only relief we have to suggest is entire abstinence. And we're just reading that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Kara L., Dana P., and Shelley E., and the reference numbers for Monday, April 25th, 10 a.m. meeting is 18,880, that is 18880. And for this morning, Tuesday, April 26th, the 7 a.m. meeting, it is 18,884, that is 18884. Following the meeting, we will have a newcomer greeter, Jody E., and announcements by Eileen M. So stay tuned for that. Okay, the OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Shelley E. to read the 12 steps for us, please.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. This is Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Arlington, Texas. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.
Thank you, Shelley. I will now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, world, because we have the world on the phone. My name is Joanne L., and I am from Rhode Island, and I am a recovering compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Lease problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you very much, and thank you for your service today, dear. I pass.
Thank you, Joanne, for your service. Thank you. Okay, so how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page XXX, the 5th paragraph, beginning "All these and many others have one symptom in common," and ending "The only relief we have to suggest is entire abstinence." And we'll read that one paragraph only. I will ask Kara L. to begin reading now. Thank you, Kara.
Thank you, Sharon. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. All these and many others have one symptom in common. They cannot start drinking without developing the phenomenon of craving. This phenomenon, as we have suggested, may be the manifestation of an allergy which differentiates these people and sets them apart as a distinct entity. It has never been, by any treatment with which we are familiar, permanently eradicated. The only relief we have to suggest is entire abstinence. Good morning. This is Kara L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from California. Good morning to all my fellows today, and thank you for those that are doing service and bringing this meeting to us. Wow, what a paragraph. I didn't know that I was setting off a phenomenon of craving that was beyond my control. I didn't know that once I took a bite of something, it might be instantaneous. It might be a day later, 2 days later, 4 days later. I would set off the cycle where I would go to bed every night remorseful about what I ate, promise to do better, and in the morning wake up with good intent and earnest, and I would eat a diet breakfast, and then I would set off my phenomenon of craving, and I would continue to compulsively eat through the rest of the day. And I did this over and over and over. And each time I got a little sadder and sadder, and my life became more unmanageable and more unmanageable. And I didn't know. I didn't know how to make it stop. I tried everything. when I worked these steps, and I went through these steps, and part of these steps, I worked these steps, I've been around for a while, and I'd worked them many times. But I was still dosing myself because I didn't have entire abstinence. And some of that was willingness, and some of that was ignorance, and some of that was just needing to hold on to the control. Once I was able to say, I don't know what happened. There was one day I said, I need to work these steps again, and I did. And I was willing to let go of those things that were setting off my phenomenal craving entirely. And I was willing to just trust that something greater than me would carry me through. Trust that I didn't need what I was dosing myself with. That was really hard. But once it happened, once I let go of those things, a whole new reality opened up to me. A whole new reality where I don't have to know things. All I have to do is believe that there's something greater than me that does. And to turn and question and say, please give me an intuitive thought, inspiration, or decision. Please show me the way. You know, once I wasn't dosing myself and I had an entire absence, I got food neutrality. I have loved my food plan today. And I do not feel deprived. I feel lifted up. I feel like I can go anywhere. I get those promises that I can go anywhere as long as I have good business to be there. I get to be present with people instead of what I'm putting in my mouth. It's a gift of this program. I know it can't be permanently eradicated, this disease. I do know, though, in 24 hours that I can be entirely abstinent and then I can turn my will and my life over to something greater than myself and then I can have serenity. And I work these steps diligently every day so that I get to keep that. Because when I wake up, there aren't those promises, those regretful promises lingering over me from the night before. There's a hope that I get to spend time with something greater than myself. And that I get to turn this day-to-day over to something greater than myself. And that's a true gift. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Kara. Thank you so much for your share and for your service. I'm going to take names now. If you could also tell us where you're calling from. And just so I can get everyone's names down without too much trouble, if we can kind of try to speak one at a time, that would be great. All right, let's begin. Star one to unmute.
Karen K.
Kim.
I have Karen K.
Elaine G.
Karen K. Kim.
Veronica B.
Brandy M.
Elaine G. Was that Brandy?
Yeah.
M. Brandy M.
Yes.
Veronica B.
Michelle F. Richard M.
Veronica B. So far I have Karen K, Kim O, Elaine G, Brandy M, Veronica B. And I think there were two others.
Michelle F.
Michelle F.
Jordan
and there was
L.
A male
Richard,
voice in
Richard
there.
M.
Rich, okay, I'm going to stop there and Jordan L. Okay, perfect. That's a lovely list. Karen K, Kim O, Elaine G, Brandy M, Veronica B, Michelle F, Richard M, and Jordan L. And if you could please tell us where you're calling from, that would be wonderful. Okay, let's start off with Karen K. Thank you. So I went to unmute.
Good morning, and thank you, everybody, for your service. My name is Karen K. from Syracuse, New York, and my credits don't transfer. Awesome paragraph. Every day is a new beginning, and God laughs at my plans. You know, I was scheduled for surgery this Thursday, and I'm not saying God gave me COVID, but I got COVID, but I don't have two symptoms. But I'm working through the steps again and having a new experience, and I laugh at myself. The things that I thought that I could put into my system, and I gotta just share the almond story. I thought I could have almonds, you know, and I just dumped out maybe 12 pounds of almonds that were in my freezer. Now, just in case World War III comes, you never know, they're on sale or someone gave them to me. Oh, I can give them to my neighbor. This, that is negotiation. And I don't really believe, if I'm honest with myself, that I will ever arrive. My food plan is going to be this way for the rest of my life. That negotiation will come up again, but the positive part about that is I have a God that loves me, enfolds me, protects me, and will show me the truth. And that's my almond story. You know, I even found some dried fruit. You know, that's it. And I'm only talking about me. I'm not talking about anybody else. You want to have almond dried fruit, that's awesome. It's just not for this girl. You know, and I want to be free. How free do I want to be? You know, the food is not worth it. You know, and I'm grateful now. You know, I'm not grateful about having COVID because I just got married and I can't be with my husband. Now, he's in one side of the place. I'm on the other. But, you know, I wouldn't, don't know if that would have happened. You know, and my sponsor said, you know, I just keep those 1 ounce of almonds in my car just in case. And my husband has them in his car just in case. And then she shows me that's not planned. Wow, just in case I get hungry. How am I giving my disease room to talk? And I learned all this from the Sober Eating Workshop. That's the method that works for me. I'm just sharing. It's another OA meeting. The Sober Eating Workshop worked for me. And with that, I'll pass. And how free do you guys want to be? And I'm looking forward to the shares. Take care and God bless.
Thank you, Karen. Next up, we have Kim O, then followed by Elaine G.
Hi, I'm Kim O from Alabama. I'm Kim from Alabama. I'm a compulsive overeater and grateful for vision. This one paragraph, I think I fought for a very long time, and my disease, my dis-ease, my discomfort, tried to do everything to rationalize that I really could. I really could just one trip through the drop-thru of Taco Bell or just one bag of popcorn. But it's not just one because whatever those alcoholic foods are, the fact is for me, it's fact. It creates a craving that is unstoppable on my own without my higher power, without abstaining and working with program. And that craving and the way that my body responds and reacts is, I do believe, because of an allergy. And the only solution for me is abstaining. The only solution for me is to avoid at all costs my alcoholic foods, even the ones that I think just one bite of will be okay, because time and time again, that's not the truth. That's my disease lying that gets me right back to where I was, a very sick person that is then eating and turning to foods rather than living life and coping and dealing with my emotions and life on life terms. And that's what it comes down to for me is the cravings, a solution to abstain, to not start with that first bite, and to start every day knowing that I can say just for this hour, just for this 24 hours, just for this moment, I can pick up the phone and call a recovery partner in vision. I can work my steps. I can listen to my sponsor, and I can stay connected to my God. Thank you. I'm grateful to be here, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Kim. Thanks for your share. Next, we have Elaine G, followed by Brandy M. Star one to unmute, Elaine.
This is Elaine G from New York. About the phenomenon of craving, in the doctor's opinion, my sponsor and me were talking about this morning, and it seems like in the middle of the night, I end up eating in the middle of the night. And then this phenomena craving, the next day carries on to the next day, and it's really terrible. I mean, all I know is that the only way I can battle against the disease is just to keep on being abstinent every day, you know? Praying and praying and praying and praying and praying. I mean, all day long praying, you know? Being in contact with God all the time. Like last night, this morning I was abstinent, but I'm saying every time I got up, because I had a knee replacement, and it was painful, I kept on praying and praying and praying, and God carried me through, you know? But when I do my own will, forget about it. I mean, it's just like it's nonstop. It's like a nonstop thing where I just can't control myself, you know? And then the next day I feel like really horrible. And Lisa, this morning I woke up feeling good. And no, I didn't eat last night. And I relied on God, you know? And I did okay, and I ended up abstinent. And I'm going to do the same thing today like I did yesterday. And I should end up to be abstinent tomorrow. I just got to keep on doing the same thing over and over. As I say, permanence, you know, helps. Thanks.
Thank you, Elaine. Next, we have Brandy M., followed by Veronica B. Go ahead, Brandy.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. My name is Brandy M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Alberta, Canada. I love this paragraph because this is what tells me who and what I am. It explains why I can't be like a normal person. You know, I basically, I have this allergy of the body. So when I ingest certain foods, it sets me up to have a phenomenon of craving. And so when I ingest certain things, it's my craving does not become satisfied. It becomes intensified. And I hear somebody say that all the time. And I can really relate to that because for me, it's like I feel like I'm a tiger or like a bear. And once I have those things, it's like, okay, where can I get more? What can I do? And, you know, all of a sudden I went from a place of, you know, normal and just, you know, okay. And then I put that food in my body and I'm off and running. Like, and it doesn't stop. I cannot stop it. I am powerless over it once I take it, you know? And so if I just didn't eat those foods, would I be okay? No, because then my mental obsession tells me that next time's going to be different or this time's going to be okay. And it's never okay. And so for me, I needed to come to a place of total surrender. And going back to the food and seeing, you know, testing it out after 2.5 years of abstinence, I tested it out and it was exactly the same. I was right where I left off 2.5 years ago. By the grace of God, I'm abstinent and neutral with the food again today. But, you know, I know without a doubt in my mind that if I take in certain things, it's going to be game over for me. And so, you know, for today, I don't need to test that. But what do I need? I need a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps to keep my mind in check, because my brain's going to lie to me. It's going to tell me lies, and it's going to really sound real because it's in my own voice, you know, that, oh, maybe, you know, oh, this person does that. Maybe I can do that. No, I know what works for me, and God knows what works for me, and I have a plan today that works. And so when my mind tells me it's going to be different, I need to, you know, suit up, show up with God, because God is going to be the only one that can stop my mind, because that's my real problem. My problem centers in my mind, and only a spiritual awakening can, as a result of these steps, and then working with others and being available and, you know, helpful and of service and all of those things, that's what's going to take me out of this addiction. But if I'm still in the food and not honest about what's triggering me, then I'm always going to have that craving. I'm going to set it off. And so I am so grateful for this book that shows me who and what I am. And today I surrender to that. That's my step one, full surrender. I am screwed. And I accept that. And then I have a life beyond my wildest dreams
once
I go through the steps. How awesome is that? And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Brandy. That was a wonderful share, and as all are. And next we have Veronica B., followed by Michelle F.
Good morning. I'm Veronica. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and a bulimic, and thank you for your service. I know that I'm a compulsive overeater because I suffer from the phenomenon of craving. I use certain foods for an effect. As a young child, I remember food just making me feel better. It took away my sadness. It took away my discomfort. It took away my anger. And then I discovered that I could eat and throw up when I was about 16 years old. And I had found my solution to my emotional problems. I use food to change my perception. I use food to make me feel better. And once I ate those foods, like, I wanted more of them. And I came into OA in 09. And I led up on the spiritual side of the program. And in 2019, I met a guy, and I was a healthy body weight. And he said, oh, why don't we share a dessert? And it had been a long time since I had any dessert, and I shared a dessert with him, and that set off the phenomenal craving for me. And after that, I wanted dessert every night for dinner, every night. And I remember it was so hard to get back to no sugar because I kept going to meetings, and I kept asking God to give me the willingness to help me. I mean, like, I had awoken a monster inside of me. And so I am in a different entity. I am a compulsive eater. I have to abstain from, you know, my alcoholic binge ingredients. That is the only solution for me. And this program is the only solution for me. I love that we have a common solution, and that's a relationship with a higher power. I have to live differently than a normal person. I can't live with anger. I can't live with resentment. I can't live with fear. So this is why I come here every single day, to get connected with God, to get connected with you guys, to know and not forget what my truth is, that I'm a compulsive eater and I need you guys. I need this way of life for me to be comfortable in my skin. Today I live on a different basis. I live on a spiritual basis today, and it's absolutely, I love my life today. I love my everything. Even in hard times, I love my life because I have God, I have you guys, and with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Veronica. Next up, we have Michelle F., followed by Richard M.
Hi, and thank you for your service. I'm Michelle F. as in Foxtrot, calling from Central Massachusetts, and I am a compulsive overeater and food addict. And this paragraph is probably what I would show people when trying to explain my food addiction, but it's also the one that most people balk at. They're like, that's ridiculous. That makes no sense. But I'll tell you, I remember that saying by Maya Angelou, do better until you know better, or do what you can until you know better. And then when you know better, do better. And that's kind of how I view it, is like, I needed this to ruin all of my eating for me, because I knew when I came into OA that I was having a crazy, not normal reaction to food. I can remember standing in front of the refrigerator just crazy, trying to figure out what would do it for me. And I can remember using diet, whatever, and it didn't do it for me. And I wound up eating all of the diet, whatever, and then going and getting the thing I wanted, you know. And how crazy, I left my kids at home sleeping at night and went in my pajamas a mile down the road to get my binge food. That's how crazy, you know. And just everything would fall away to getting that craving satisfied. And I also have literal food allergies, and I liken the feeling of being accidentally exposed to something I'm, you know, like, I'm allergic to nuts. I don't have the anaphylactic shock that I start to go into, but that same itchiness, I feel like I'm crawling out of my skin and I cannot relax until I eat some of that. But it doesn't last long. And I find myself thinking about it again. It's almost like if you scratch an itch, it just makes it a little bit less itchy. It doesn't get rid of it. And actually, you're better off not scratching it in the first place. And it'll get better if you just leave it alone. I have terrible poison ivy allergies as well. And so I love this idea of the allergy of the body, because it very, I think it very aptly describes my reaction physically to my binge foods. And I know if there's any question about whether a food is safe for me to eat, then I can answer pretty quickly with, am I trying to control how I eat this? If the answer is yes, I shouldn't be eating it. Popcorn was something that I had someone control for me, and I finally said, this is ridiculous. If I can't eat this in safety, I shouldn't be eating it. And it's really hard to give those up. I grieved every food that I put down. But I would
just
rather
a reminder.
Be, thank you. I would rather be stark, raving abstinent than out of my mind, itchy, crazy, trying to find my substance. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle. Next, we have Richard M., followed by Jordan L., and then I will go ahead and take another list. We'll probably have time for three or four more names at that point. So let's go ahead with Richard. Thank you. Star one to unmute.
Hi, this is Richard M. In Toronto, Canada. I'm a compulsive overeater. Just checking I can be heard.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Yeah, so this paragraph was really was important for me because there was a couple misunderstandings and dishonesties inside my head that I had to get cleared up as I got into the program. So for myself, I knew my life was unmanageable and I could see that there was parts of my day, you know, often in the evenings where I would be compulsively eating and it'd become almost like this madness in the evenings. But I don't, you know, like I'm a very willful person and I have a reputation in my life for being very honest and driven. And so I found it very confusing. And I thought that I was someone who, you know, I just must be failing as a person. I must be a horrible, you know, a person who doesn't have the willpower that they thought they did. I can't be relied on for anything. I can't manage my own life. And my self-esteem was struggling tremendously through the process. And as I was starting to get involved with the program and I was learning about the compulsion and the mental twist, one of the exercises I went back and did was I went through my bank statements for a year and tried to go look at it versus my weight and see, okay, well, you know, if I was trying not to eat sugar at this time or I was trying not to eat this XYZ at this time, I would go and I'd see, oh my goodness, you know, I would start to, once I had sugar on this one day, I could see a pattern pick up where there would be 3 or 4 days later, I'd be going and getting, you know, another treat, and then it would be one day later, and I wasn't even this honest, willful person. I wasn't even aware that, you know, 4 weeks would go by, and all of a sudden it would culminate in just these bigger and bigger binges that I would be unaware of the whole time. And so it helped me understand that it wasn't a failure of my will. It was that there was some sort of horrible itch that was going on underneath that, with entire abstinence, I could maybe get under control. And then that get me in the position where I could start to take a look at the mental twist and start to actually, because I was being abstinent and I could see my feelings, I could see what, you know, the cravings that would come up. I could then look at it more clearly and not be in the fog of the food. So I'm really grateful to be here today. And so thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Richard. Next we have Jordan L. And then I will take a few more names. Go ahead, Jordan.
Hey, good morning. My name's Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado, and very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous this morning. a distinct entity. God, I resented that so much. I was pissed, man. I came into OA for the first time in 2012, and I didn't want to be here. I did not want to be a compulsive overeater, and I did not want to be a part of this program, and I definitely didn't want to be a distinct entity. I wanted to be a normal person who, with a little bit of self-will, could figure this out. and that's okay. Like, I look back on that experience now with gratitude, because I needed that. I needed to be able to experience that and know that I'm not a normal person who can figure this out with a little bit of self-will. I am a distinct entity. This allergy, it sets me apart. I'm not one of those people that can compulsively overeat on Thanksgiving because it's a national holiday, and then just get right back to normal everyday eating the next day. I was never someone who ate around the clock. I was a binger, and so it was always periodic for me. And so what got me about entire abstinence was that when that obsession came up, to have a binge, to let loose, to use food for an effect, because it was exciting and something to like spice up my day and make it more interesting, or maybe I had a crappy day and I needed to soothe it, you know, with some comfort foods, or maybe I had an awesome day and I wanted to celebrate with my favorite foods or whatever it was. I really had to come to understand that those periodic binges were part of the problem too. yes, I have these alcoholic foods that I have a physiological reaction to.
gentle reminder.
And then I also have this broken mind. So entire abstinence is the remedy for both of those. So thank you for letting me share. That's all I got.
Thank you, Jordan. Okay, I'm going to take a few more names. But at first, I just want a quick reminder that this meeting request that you keep your share to 3 minutes and that you share on the topic and literature we are discussing. So I'm ready. I think
Liz S.
I heard Jill and Robin and Liz. Is that correct?
Roz. Patty M. Roz.
I'm sorry.
R.
Was the
Roz
okay.
R.
Was there
M.
a Jill? Okay, I can't take any more names,
yes,
because we won't have
Jill.
Time. Jill, what was
yes,
your last
this is
initial?
Jill. Oh, C.
Jill, your initial B, and then
C
was there a Robin? Okay,
there's Roz.
And was there a Robin? There was a Roz. Okay,
yes.
And then was there a Liz?
Yes, Liz S. is in Sam.
Okay. Great. Let's start there, and if we have time, I will take. And I'm sorry if I didn't hear you. It's challenging. Let's go ahead, Jill C. Thank you.
Yes, this is Jill C. from Virginia Beach. And yeah, the distinct entity. You know, I had the phenomenon of craving as a child. You know, I was 186 pounds by the time I was 12. I remember my mom bringing the pediatrician when I was like 5. She thought I had a hernia, but it was just a fat roll. And the doctor assured us that it would go away. It was just baby fat. And actually, it actually grew up and got lots of friends. And what I realized was I just assumed everyone else was just better at fighting these urges than me. I literally didn't occur to me, because you're a kid, you just think everyone's like you, that there weren't people experiencing that crowd noise from the kitchen. I remember seeing my best friend growing up. I had the same best friend in kindergarten through senior year. And I would eat over her house, and her mom would actually, like, make our plates and give us one serving. Oh, it made me so uncomfortable. So uncomfortable. I didn't understand that I was really experiencing the phenomenon of craving. That I love the word itchy. You know, it's an itch that rashes. It doesn't ever get scratched and relieved. And when I came to OA almost 18 years ago, you know, there was this idea of moderation. I even had an eating disorder therapist tell me that OA doesn't work because it makes you give up foods entirely, which is a lot wrong with that statement on all levels. But I finally got so desperate and I came, and it took me 4 years to receive the gift of abstinence because I didn't understand that there were a lot of foods, a lot more than I thought, that I just couldn't eat without developing cravings. You know, and thankfully, I prayed for the willingness to receive the gift of abstinence, and along with that prayer was guidance, and I got led to a way of eating that eliminates all of my trigger foods. It's so freeing. In 14 years, I literally haven't looked at someone else's plate and thought, I want that, and that's the truth. And I am constantly around food. I have boys. I decorate with candy this time of year. But I'm grateful for neutrality and the 10-step promises because, you know, then we really, from that vantage point, can work the steps. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Jill. And next we have Roz, and I didn't get your initial, Roz.
Hi, my name is Roz R. from Georgia. And thank you for letting me share. Thank you for your service. You do an awesome job. I want to let you know. I love this paragraph because I can relate so much to it. You know, that, you know, I have this one symptom that that makes me a distinct entity. And that's, you know, that taking one bite of one of my alcoholic foods will set me off. And it's taken years and years of me to understand that. And the thing that popped into my head was, you know, after years of being, you know, neutral with the food, I remember just going out with friends, you know, and everybody decided to get this one big dessert that we were all going to share. And I knew I couldn't eat that. But, you know, the thing used to go through my head that, you know, well, I have been so clean for so long, you know, like one bite won't hurt. And it's like that's been the nemesis for me my whole life, the disease telling me that it won't hurt this time. And I remember taking that bite and feeling like, oh, wow, this is good. You know, it doesn't bother me. And it didn't bother me for days after, just like everybody has shared, you know, that disease rears its ugly head days later. I want to share currently, you know, I just had heard someone else too. I just had a knee replacement. I'm going on my second week of recovery with it. And can't get around. And I've had to ask, you know, people to, especially my daughter, you know, to prepare my food for me and get it ready in the fridge. And so I made it easy. I just put my food plan down on the counter and left it there. And I said, just follow that, you know, and it'll be fine. And she's been doing a great job. And I'm getting spoiled having my meals put in my frigidaire. And all I have to do is wobble in to get them. But I'm so grateful because during this recovery, too, it's like, you know, I talk to my people and we keep reminding each other just by our sharing, you know, that we are not like other people. And it's so good to have, like the support of all these, you know, other recovering people and recovered people and Zoom meetings and Vision. And, you know, I have all these friends all over the world. And yeah, we all believe in the same thing, that we are different than other people. And unless I'm around people, fellows, that, you know, are living the life that I am, I can forget in a heartbeat, you know. So every day I have to wake up and start this journey all over again. And I'm grateful because, as people have shared, you know, it gives you a life beyond your wildest dreams. And no matter what happens and where I am and where I live, you know, I know that God's watching over me and that I am protected as long as I stay connected and do the work. And I don't mind being a distinct entity anymore. And I'm not afraid to let people know, not that I'm, you know, in OA, but that, you know,
gentle
I
reminders.
Have to eat a certain way. Thank you so much. Thank you for your service, and I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Roz. And our last share for the morning will be Liz S. And stay tuned. At the end of the meeting, we will have a newcomer greeter and announcements. So don't want you to miss that as well. Go ahead, Liz, star one to unmute. Thank you.
Hi, it's Liz S. in New Hampshire. Yeah, I read this paragraph, and the first thing that comes to my mind is, you know, bless Dr. Silkworth for what he was able to determine. And you know, there's so many people who are distinct entities, people with cancer, people with kidney disease, people with diabetes, people with, I mean, any number of illnesses. So I sort of count myself among them just with this illness. Instead, and with a remarkable and phenomenal a chance to recover. But I have to be able to come to terms with what he's saying here. And I think a lot of people struggle with this being for, you know, alcoholics, but I'm a compulsive overeater. This is for alcoholics. But if you look at it closely, I think of the foods I cannot eat without having this phenomenon of craving. And I could spend years trying to figure out what that phenomenon is. I can analyze it, intellectualize it, try and determine why I have it. In the meantime, I'm in the food, and I'm not getting better, and I'm not moving forward. I have to just trust that when I eat certain foods, and there are quite a lot of them, I can't stop. And that's all that matters. And sometimes I step back and say, this is a phenomenon. But take it for what it is, Liz. Look at your experience. Don't argue with it. Don't debate it. Don't intellectualize it. Just understand that that's what happens. When you pick up A, you can't stop. Broccoli, you don't want any more. Chocolate chip cookies, how do I get 3 bags? And that's all I have to understand. And I'm so grateful that Dr. Silkworth was able to determine that this is a problem and we could have this problem and the solution and be free and have more room in our lives to let in a higher power of our choosing and to be well. Thank you. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Liz. I have time for a one-minute share if somebody wants to grab it. First name I hear.
Hi, this is Diane.
Patty M. Go ahead, Diane. You got it.
Hi. Thank you guys for your service and for this opportunity to share. I'm Diane N. from Metro Atlanta, Georgia, and I am so grateful for everything that I heard today and so very humbled. I was reminded of how my disease, I'm in recovery, I'm a recovered and acute compulsive overeater, living in recovery today by God's grace. But I was reminded of all the times I've been in this disease for over 40 years I've been in program, but I've been in recovery for about 2.5 years almost. But I was thinking about my disease would be so insistent. I mean, I would be able, if I started, I couldn't stop it, and it's because of the obsession of the mind, I understand that. But also, the minute, you know, it's as if it just kept edging me on, I know that this disease is permanent, it's progressive, and it's fatal, and it's cunning and baffling. And, of course, as soon it would just keep saying, you got to eat this. If you don't eat it, you know.
Gentle reminder.
Thank you. You're going to only do it this one time. Just eat this once. And then the minute I finally give in to it and eat it, and then my diseased mind would say, oh, you could have waited one more minute and it would have been okay. It's as if this illness just plays havoc with my head. But today I'm grateful to be in recovery. And thank you guys for letting me share. Pass.
Thank you, Diane. Thank you for all the shares today. And thank you. I'm very grateful that I was able to do service this morning on this meeting. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Dana P. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, Sharon, it's my pleasure. Can I be heard?
Yes, thank you.
Fantastic. So just indulge me with a moment of silence for the still suffering addict. Dana P. in California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.